listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to The Pampered Pooch on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Christine Latham.
And this is your co-host, Vicki Nixon.
Today we're going to talk about a few different ways that you can have fun with your dog in the summer. One of the ways that we're going to talk about is how to plan an event. Maybe it's a fundraiser, maybe it's just something that you would like to throw at your own house, or just a group of people that like to get together. Vicki will talk about some of the ideas and ways that she's organized an event. We're also going to talk about some other fun stuff you can do with your dogs in the summer. We'll be back in just a minute after these commercial breaks.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Pawfume Dog Grooming and Finishing Spray is proud to be a new sponsor of Pet Life Radio. Pawfume Super Long Lasting Sprays are available in four unique fragrances. Each Pawfume spray is fortified with the finest conditioners and detanglers to make combing out your dog more fun. Pawfume retails for only $2 per 6-ounce bottle. Pawfume is available nationwide at all Dollar General and Family Dollar stores. Why pay more to have your dog smell great? Pawfume, Pawfume.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step-by-step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pampered Pooch on Pet Life Radio. This is Vicki Nixon, and today we're going to discuss fun events to do with your pets, also including planning an event, whether it be a party or having friends over with their dogs in your backyard, or whether it be on a larger scale to benefit a rescue or just have a fun time with your pampered pooches. I plan an annual event called Dog Days of Summer. It's in Lapeer, Michigan. This is our second year. The main goal of this event is to benefit rescues and for people to come out with their pets and have a good time. To do that, I broke it down very simply. I planned a committee, getting a few volunteers who were willing to work a year to 14 months in advance, deciding what we were going to do, what our theme was, how many vendors we were going to have. The next thing to do was to find a place to have it, whether it be a dog-friendly park, whether it be somewhere at a local area or near a local shelter or even Main Street. Sometimes cities will work with you, or townships or counties, and give you a portion of July 4th, let's say. They may give you a big parking lot that you can have a benefit there, maybe while a parade's going down.
Probably like one of the big things would be of whether somebody wants it to be on leash or off leash when they make that decision, I would say.
That's great, Christine. Yeah. It's true. Because if it's going to be, most of the events I've been to are on leash.
Yep.
Just because there's not a fenced in area big enough. But if you're going to have it in a backyard, your backyard, you can do it off leash. The next thing we did was arrange our vendors. Basically, I just clicked on the city, found grooming places, poop picker-uppers, companies that do that, anybody that did handmade dresses or collars or anything to benefit or that were from the state you're in that people would like, and worked on getting your vendors. Our committee also worked on having a couple of games for the pets that would be going on throughout the day to attract more pet owners to bringing their pets and frequenting, seeing the vendors. Of course, we had the rescues. I checked with the rescues, made sure that there was a covered area. There was fresh running water close. There were volunteers to help. And that the rescues, I gave them a limit on the number of dogs they could bring, so we weren't overwhelmed with too many dogs, and people could come out and look. We didn't do any on-site adoptions, but people could be interested and get information from the rescue group. We also had something called Ask the Trainer. Ask the Trainer is a great way if someone will volunteer their time. People can make a small donation. They may have pet behavioral issues like, why is my dog barking so much or jumping up and down? It's also a way for a behaviorist or a dog trainer to get more clients. At the end of the throughout the event, we do raffles hourly. And we also do a large 50-50 raffle. So half of the money goes into the pot, and the other half goes to the person that won the raffle. At the end of our event, Dog Days of Summer, all of the profit is split between the three rescues or four rescues or five rescues that attend, and they go home with that money. We just take out what it might cost for printing, small things. Things like that, but it works great. It's great to have. It's good for the rescues. It's good for people to get out there with their dogs. So even if you have it in your backyard, like Christine, if you had something in your backyard and you said, if everybody would make a small donation, we're going to have food and pop and fun things for your pets, and we're going to put all the money that's there towards rescue or towards getting the shelter a new building, something like that.
Yeah, very cool. And when is Dog Days of Summer this year?
Dog Days of Summer is July 25th, 2009, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Lapeer, Michigan. And they can go to my website to get more information, www.simonandlulus, SimonandLulus.com.
Now, Vicki, one of the things we talked about before is how much I like to take my dogs to any dog event that's going on. And a good place that you can find local dog-friendly events is www.dogfriendly.com. And you can basically just click on your state, find your area. They'll tell you all about activities that's going on in your area. You can also find pet-friendly lodging, campgrounds, and RV parks that allow dogs. It'll tell you about beaches, some outdoor dining, other attractions. It's a very good website for finding something that's going on in your area. Of course, your local news station up here where we are at, every like weekend there's a lot of news going on as to different dog events. Craigslist is a good place that lists upcoming events. We've talked before about meetup.com. That's also a very good event to find out what's going on in your area. And one thing that I know that before, like when Mateo, one of your dogs that goes to events, is that because of the way his legs or hip bones are, really,
right,
that the bottoms of his toes, they get kind of like red and sores.
Correct. They'll bleed, yes. His feet don't all the way touch the ground, so the middle two toes and he moved from the hips like a seal, so those drag. And I've tried boots and socks, but he usually goes right through them if he's walking a long distance.
You know, one thing that I know you haven't tried this, but I've actually gotten some samples from Dermapaw before, and I think that would be a really good thing to try on either people whose dogs are just, you know, a little sore from being outside on the hot pavement, which you really have to watch out for, or that have really bad skin conditions and allergies. Dermapaw is a really good system. It's made of all natural ingredients. It contains cod liver oil, lavender oil, chamomile, evening primrose oil, vitamin E, beeswax, and petrolatum. And you can just go online to dermapaw.com. You can find out all about the different ingredients that's in there. You can read about their dog, Godric, his story of all the different things. They spent thousands of dollars, what they tried to help this poor dog, and the Dermapaw has helped tremendously. They also have these things called Stay Put Socks, and they have admitted that it's a very homemade looking device, if you want to call it. It's basically with child socks so that they'll stay up, you know, further onto the leg. And it's tied to elastic, kind of made to be like a harness. You know, nothing fancy about it. But they've basically listed on their websites some different reasons why that system has worked for them when using, like, infant socks or using the tape, like I know you've done and not yes. had any problems with, that their dog wouldn't. It wouldn't keep work. On. Yeah, they wouldn't keep those on. A lot of different things that they try.
I hear that a lot of times, too, that they're like, that sock thing and putting the tape is not going to work with my dog. I've tried all that.
Yeah, I mean, if it does work for your dog, that's good. But if it doesn't, you know, they've got a lot of success stories online. And basically, you would put the Dermapaw on, and then you would put the socks on over top of it for overnight or however long that your dog needs it. But it's really a very, you know, natural ingredients, and it's, you know, pretty cheap comparatively. Mm-hmm. I've gone and gotten some samples. I've used it a little bit on my dog's paws. We haven't had to use the Stay Put socks as of yet, but I do have that in case I need to try it again. So it's something for people to think about when they are, you know, taking their dog to a summer event. And maybe their paws are getting hot from the hot concrete.
Yes. You know, Christina, as we're talking about summer events, there's different things that you can do, even if the event allows the dog to come, but your dog doesn't want to walk, like Mateo. I always worry about him scraping his paws. How do you take your dogs if they're tired? Or there's a lot of alternatives. I have a radial flyer wagon. I love it. It's got the seats that come up, you know, for the kids and the little harnesses. So I can make it and all three of my dogs can fit in there and I can pull them. They pretty much stay in now. What do you use?
I have a two-seated, like, doggy stroller. We don't use it very often, but we have used it in the past a couple times. Once was at an event that was really hot and Sugar didn't want to walk on the asphalt, and that's pretty much all that there was where we went. And another time when we could have used it but we didn't bring it, was we had all four dogs, but the two older ones, Louie and Emmy, they were just very tired, and they didn't want to walk as much. So I should have used it that day, but I didn't have it with me. But yeah, it's most people.
What does it look like?
Yeah, most people have like a one dog stroller, but I found on eBay, it's you know, it looks like a stroller for two twins, babies, except for the outside of it is. Basically, it's zippered, so that way each dog has, like, their own separate compartment.
Wow.
They can see through the screen, you know, the zipper meshing. They can see out. If you wanted, you can unzip it and let them kind of hang out if your dog would actually stay put.
Right.
I actually did do that once in a parade. I had three dogs with me at one time, and my husband wasn't there. So in order for all three to go for the parade, they all had to go into the stroller. Because one of my dogs was kind of smaller, and a Fasha that I had was smaller, too, so they fit in the one side. So really, it's like a two dog, you know, maybe three dogs for a short period of time. But yeah, where I got it online, it was a really good price. It was probably about the price of a one dog stroller, and that was on eBay. Yeah, it's really cute. It's pink and green. They have lots of different collars, though. Wow. And I know that the wagon thing has worked out for you.
Yes, it has.
At parades, too, that you've gone in.
Yep. And I can fold those seats down, you know, radio flyer stays. I mean, they're very sturdy, and they all three can sit there. And even though the sides are small, I like the idea of the stroller, too. So either way.
We'll be back in just a minute after some sponsors.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Give your dog some thought with Dog Thoughts. It's the iPhone application that everyone's talking about.
Hey, what do you think of this? A man in Davis, California says he's invented an application for the iPhone that claims it can read your dog's mind. Huh? No, it's true. I read about it on my cat's Twitter page. That's why.
Jay Leno talked about it, CBS reported on it, and now you can see what all the buzz is about. Created just for dog lovers, Dog Thoughts makes taking photos of your furry best friend more fun. Shake your dog and read his mind. On your iPhone, of course. Take a pic of your pup, shake your phone, and watch as his thoughts appear on the screen. Does he have a bone to pick with you, or is he having a tail-wagging day? Get your Dog Thoughts iPhone app today. Just 99 cents. Go to PetLifeRadioPromotions.com. That's PetLifeRadioPromotions.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pet Life Radio proudly presents DSPN, the Dog Sports and Performance Network. Get ready to unleash the dog sports enthusiast in all of us. From speed drawing and mushing to racing, agility, and competition, this is the place to learn all about the dog sports and activities that you can do with your furry best friend and canine competitor. So get ready for game time. DSPN with your host, Lori Williams. Every week, on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
You know, another fun thing that you can do in the summer with your dogs is to take them camping. You know, it depends on where you live. Maybe you're not the camping type. You can camp, obviously, you know, in wooded area, camping grounds. You can camp in your backyard. Chris and I camped in our backyard this weekend. You've camped with a RV before?
Correct. My husband had never camped ever. He'd always gone in a hotel. So we decided 2 years ago on July 4th, we were going to take an RV and our three dogs, and we were going to go camping. This was the first time for the dogs and the first time for my husband. And we went to a state park over 4th of July.
Wow.
It was
busy.
So crowded. Yes. They traveled really well, and they liked the park. We took like 5 X-Pens. My husband hooked it up, so they were all hooked together. So when they came out of the RV, they didn't have to have their leashes on. And they seemed to really like it. We took them for a lot of walks. We had fires at night. The only thing that I think was probably hard on me was that they barked at every little thing. Every time somebody walked by our campsite, and you know, we were all back to back. So that's something to consider. I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably have better behaved dogs than I do, but every little noise, they were barking, and then I felt like it was going on, and people were looking, and, you know, was the park ranger going to come up to us and say, you people are out of here with your barking dogs? And but it was a good time for the dogs. We really enjoyed it. I like traveling all of us together because, you know, when you fly or if you go somewhere for a long weekend, sometimes you have to leave your dogs at home with someone, and I really wanted to take them and try it. Needless to say, my husband said, that was a great experience, but I don't think we'll ever do it again.
Well, it sounds fun with the X-Pens like that. I never thought about that.
It was great. We put down a tarp because you know how dirty it gets and dusty, and it was kind of rainy. And then he just connected a lot of X-Pens. My husband's very resourceful. So we got a lot of X-Pens. We hooked them up, and then they could stay in that area, and we could just put our chairs in there and our little radio or whatever.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Tell me how camping was in your backyard.
Well, it was good. We had got a tent, so we put the tent up, and we weren't roughing it too much because we had an air mattress and like an inflatable little love seat and chair, which are pretty cool. They come with cup holders and everything. And the dogs liked it. They, you know, had toys in there for them. Make sure had Louie's little bed area that, you know, I think the tent said it was supposed to be a closet, but it's more like a cove, I think, for a dog to like sleep in. You know, the more you try to make it like home, I think the more the dogs are gonna like it. It wasn't too hot. That's one thing you'll have to, you know, think about if you do go camping, is probably something to keep them cool. I know they have some cooling beds now. They've got like cooling bandanas. They've even got like toys that if you get them wet and the dog can play with it and squirt all over if you want that. You know, there's a lot of different cooling products that you can use to help your dog keep cool. But yeah, they had a good time. We just basically just kind of chilled in our backyard, and we had a fire too. And the good thing about it being in the backyard is, again, you don't have to worry, like you said, of them always being on a leash. I wouldn't recommend anyone leave their dogs in a tent because, you know, if they're not there with you, they'll probably try to like scratch through the tent and get loose. So I would definitely not recommend that. But that's fun. It's relatively inexpensive. You know, once you pay for the price of your tent and, you know, a few things that you might need, you can even get fire pits for, you know, like $50 to $75. You know, it's something you can use that money, but use it more than once. So that's a nice little vacation or stay-at-home vacation. That's great. I call it.
Yeah, staycation, as Christine calls it. And you know, Christine, it's a great, great way to try it in your backyard. You know, we don't know how our dogs are going to act until we try it.
Right.
And granted, you're not in a public place, but at the same time, the dogs get comfortable. You're there. They get used to the smells, being outside, all of the noises.
Yeah, and like the tent that we had, like you could basically like unzip the windows, if you will. So they would lay on like the mattress or the little love seat, and they would just sit and look outside and watch, you know, the neighbors, what they had going on, and they would just listen to the birds. And you know, I think it was fun for them as well.
What a great experience.
The only thing is, it's 4th of July time up here, so that was something that one of my dogs did not like at all. And I know one of your dogs doesn't like.
Yeah.
So we did have to go inside for you know, the night of 4th of July, because there was just way too many fireworks.
It's a very hard time for pet owners, is 4th of July, because of all the fireworks and all the different things we try, the rescue remedy and, you know, putting them in the house and turning the TV up and, you know, giving them a safe place to be, you know, maybe a crate with a blanket cover or whatever. But good. So you're real sensitive to what was going on and watching the dogs. They had a good time looking out the little windows.
Yeah, they did have fun.
Did you take video of it?
We didn't take any video, but, you know, people could.
Yeah.
We took some pictures, though.
Good.
Of course, yeah. You know, another fun thing that you can do in the summer with your dogs is to take them camping. You know, it depends on where you live. Maybe you're not the camping type. You can camp, obviously, you know, in wooded area, camping grounds. You can camp in your backyard. Chris and I camped in our backyard this weekend. You've camped with a RV before?
Correct. My husband had never camped ever. He'd always gone in a hotel. So we decided 2 years ago on July 4th, we were going to take an RV. and our three dogs, and we were going to go camping. This was the first time for the dogs and the first time for my husband. And we went to a state park over 4th of July.
Wow.
It was
busy.
So crowded. Yes. They traveled really well, and they liked the park. We took like 5 X-Pens. My husband hooked it up, so they were all hooked together. So when they came out of the RV, they didn't have to have their leashes on. And they seemed to really like it. We took them for a lot of walks. We had fires at night. The only thing that I think was probably hard on me was that they barked at every little thing. Every time somebody walked by our campsite, and you know, we were all back to back. So that's something to consider. I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably have better behaved dogs than I do, but every little noise, they were barking, and then I felt like it was going on, and people were looking, and, you know, was the park ranger going to come up to us and say, you people are out of here with your barking dogs? And but it was a good time for the dogs. We really enjoyed it. I like traveling all of us together because, you know, when you fly or if you go somewhere for a long weekend, sometimes you have to leave your dogs at home with someone, and I really wanted to take them and try it. Needless to say, my husband said, that was a great experience, but I don't think we'll ever do it again.
Well, that sounds fun with the X-Pens like that. I never thought about that.
It was great. We put down a tarp because you know how dirty it gets and dusty, and it was kind of rainy. And then he just connected a lot of X-Pens. My husband's very resourceful. So we got a lot of X-Pens. We hooked them up, and then they could stay in that area, and we could just put our chairs in there and our little radio or whatever.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Tell me how camping was in your backyard.
Well, it was good. We had got a tent, so we put the tent up, and we weren't roughing it too much because we had an air mattress and like an inflatable little love seat and chair, which are pretty cool. They come with cup holders and everything. And the dogs liked it. They had toys in there for them. Make sure had Louie's little bed area that, you know, I think the tent said it was supposed to be a closet, but it's more like a cove, I think, for a dog to sleep in. The more you try to make it like home, I think the more the dogs are gonna like it. It wasn't too hot. That's one thing you'll have to, you know, think about if you do go camping, is probably something to keep them cool. I know they have some cooling beds now. They've got like cooling bandanas. They've even got like toys that if you get them wet and the dog can play with it and squirt all over if you want that. You know, there's a lot of different cooling products that you could use to help your dog keep cool. But yeah, they had a good time. We just basically just kind of chilled in our backyard, and we had a fire too. And the good thing about it being in the backyard is, again, you don't have to worry, like you said, of them always being on a leash. I wouldn't recommend anyone leave their dogs in a tent because, you know, if they're not there with you, they'll probably try to like scratch through the tent and get loose. So I would definitely not recommend that. But that's something it's fun. It's relatively inexpensive. You know, once you pay for the price of your tent and, you know, a few things that you might need, you can even get fire pits for, you know, like $50 to $75. You know, it's something you can use that money, but use it more than once. So that's a nice little vacation or stay-at-home vacation.
That's
as I call it.
Yeah, staycation, as Christine calls it. And you know, Christine, it's a great, great way to try it in your backyard. You know, we don't know how our dogs are going to act until we try it.
Right.
And granted, you're not in a public place, but at the same time, the dogs get comfortable. You're there. They get used to the smells, being outside, all of the noises.
Yeah, like the tent that we had, like you could basically like unzip the windows, if you will. So they would lay on like the mattress or the little love seat, and they would just sit and look outside and watch, you know, the neighbors, what they had going on, and they would just listen to the birds. And you know, I think it was fun for them as well.
What a great experience.
The only thing is, it's 4th of July time up here, so that was something that one of my dogs did not like at all. And I know one of your dogs doesn't like.
Yeah.
So we did have to go inside for you know, the night of 4th of July, because there was just way too many fireworks.
It's a very hard time for pet owners, is 4th of July, because of all the fireworks and all the different things we try, the rescue remedy and, you know, putting them in the house and turning the TV up and, you know, giving them a safe place to be, you know, maybe a crate with a blanket cover or whatever. But good. So you're real sensitive to what was going on and watching the dogs. They had a good time looking out the little windows.
Yeah, they did have fun.
Did you take video of it?
We didn't take any video, but, you know, people could.
Yeah.
We took some pictures, though.
Good.
Of course. Yeah.
This is Christine with the Pampered Pooch, and I am having a backyard luau today. Today we are going to have the Bashan group and a small dogs meetup group as well. We are all decorated out for the luau. We went to a party store and got lots of Hawaiian luau decorations. We've got, actually my dogs are all dressed up in their swimming suits. Not that they really want to go swimming, but we do have a little kiddie pool here in case they do. And I got the kiddie pool at Meijer, actually. It's just a kid's pool, and we're going to use it for the dogs. It's a nice hot day here in Detroit, and we want to make sure that the dogs can stay cool if they want to go in the pool. And of course, you want to make sure that it's, smaller than your actual dog, because you don't want your dog to drown. We also got their swimming suits at Meijer as well. They've got some at Walmart, and I'm sure lots of boutiques across the country can find them, and on eBay as well. Miss Emmy has a two-piece bikini on. It is hot pink with some very cute fringe in like a yellow and green. And Louie's got some turquoise swimming trunks on with a little bit of yellow. And Princess has a one-piece but very flattering swimming suit that is a pale pink with hot pink yellow flowers, very Hawaiian looking. And Miss Sugar, the girl that doesn't really like to wear clothes, so she's pouting right now. She is wearing a hot pink bathing suit with yellow ruffles. Very cute, Sugar. To prepare for everybody coming to the backyard meetup today, I've, of course, you gotta make sure your yard is nicely mowed and all the sticks and debris and anything the dogs can get to that you don't want them to is cleaned up. If you have any areas of your yard that you do not want the dogs in, like a garden or flowers, make sure that there's a fence or something else that would keep the dogs from getting onto it. We've got lots of outside toys scattered all over the yard. When I'm done, I always make sure to bring them in and wash them, just in case there's a dog that, accidentally or unaccidentally potting on the toy. So I always make sure and do that. We're going to make sure and fill up that kiddie pool a little bit before people start to gather so that the water's not too cold. We've got lots of lawn chairs, of course the table with all of our food and drinks. And another thing I try to do is have signs outside, one by the road, telling everybody this is the place. And then signs at the front door telling everybody, we're not going to welcome you through the front door. Please go to the side of the house and come through the back gate. At the back gate, I also have a sign that just reminds everybody that to be careful when they're coming in and out of our dogs to make sure nobody gets loose. We do have what we call a second gate system. It is a corral, if you will, that's set up in a square on the inside of our fence. So that way people come in through our gate, then they step into the second gate system, if you will. We close the fence gate behind them, and then we open the second gate so that way people can get through. We don't ever want, only one gate, and as they're coming in, somebody else slips out. So that's something we always try to do, is what we call a second gate system.
Christine was telling me about a luau party she planned and something she had at her house. And Christine, I remember you telling me about how you had, all the dogs who came had to have up-to-date shot records. How did you handle that? How did you plan that?
Well, because it is all meetup groups, I can tell everybody ahead of time. But if you're not part of a meetup group, just whoever you invite, put that on the invitation or word of mouth or whatever. But that is something for people might want to think about, because if you're inviting other dogs near your dogs, if they're not up to date on their shots like Bordetella, even if your dog is vaccinated, a vaccination cannot get every strain of what they're being vaccinated for. So you are, a little bit more at risk of your dog getting some type of, disease, I guess you should say.
Or kennel cough something.
Yeah, like virus. Virus is more likely to happen. So that is something that I always require. They have to have their Bordetella up to date within at least a year. They have to have, all the other ones. They have to have rabies. They have to have their DHL-2PP, all that good stuff, just so that way I know that my dog and everybody else's dogs that are coming are not going to be at risk for catching something.
Christine, that's so smart because, you know the dogs are in close proximity. You're having a luau in your backyard. The dogs are playing. They're with their mouths on each other. You know how they do.
Yeah.
And,
even if one dog maybe could carry a strain of kennel cough and maybe not even exhibit anything, another dog may have a weaker immune system. And that way you're protecting your own dogs, everybody else's dogs, and your liability too, I would think.
Yeah, you never know. You never know people out there. So that's, and I never take anyone's word for it. I tell them that they have to bring their shots and that I will turn people away if they don't bring them. And that sounds mean, but it is really to the benefit of everybody's dogs so that way they don't get sick. And that still doesn't guarantee that they won't get sick, but it definitely reduces the likelihood. And if even if no one else likes it, I mean, they don't have to come.
Right.
we all throw a party because we want people to come. But I'm sure all of you that are listening to the Pamper Pooch, you obviously love your dogs like they're your kids, and you want to take care of them. So,
well, Christine, you take your dog to the groomer, they make you have Bordetella.
Right. Same with daycare.
Exactly. If you're taking your dog to the groomer or daycare or you're boarding your dog, anything like that, they all require that. So it's just being very responsible. And I think, you know, it's one of the, you know, best preventions you can do. You're telling people, I care about your pets and what happens.
Yeah, so that's definitely something I would think about when you're planning, you know, an event, you know, either, again, in your backyard or wherever you're planning an event. That's something to consider. You know, Vicki, I do require the shots to be up to date to attend, you know, one of the functions at my house or, you know, one of the events that I'm throwing. But something I don't require but just think people should do is some form of tick and flea preventative.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't require that. But it is something just to think about whether you're on a preventative or not, is that when you're having a backyard summer meetup, is to make sure that you're checking your dogs over just in case they did come in contact with a tick. And if you happen to find one, a really good commercial product out there for removing ticks is called Ticked Off. And basically, Ticked Off was specifically designed to remove ticks from animals and people. It's a simple, basically like forward sliding motion of the device. It looks kind of like a spoon. It's plastic, but durable. You basically slide it along the skin and it grabs the tick, like the mouth part of it, and basically removes it really easily. You just kind of move forward with a little device and it removes the entire tick.
Because most people use tweezers. I've heard of tweezers, Christine. Is that incorrect?
Well, it's debatable because tweezers were never designed to remove ticks. They're kind of like an improvised method. Like, they will kind of force the fluids from the tick back into the host, which is not a good thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Or you can, like, make it, like, kind of pop.
Yes.
And whatever is inside, if there is a disease inside.
Like Lyme disease. If
right.
If that tick carried Lyme disease.
It would, not only would it get on your dog's skin, it would also get on you.
Okay.
So that's a very good reason why that's not the best method out there. Can it work in some cases? Yes. But, you know, if you have another alternative available, and it is very cheap to find, it's also available at most pet stores. Some veterinarians, like farm and feed stores, have them. Some pharmacies even. Some grocery stores, hardware stores, etc. Or you can go to www.tickedoff.com. It's called Ticked Off. We'll be back in just a minute after some sponsors.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned. Having a rough day? Longing for the dog days of summer? Think your fun furry friend lives a dog's life? Well, find out everything you're begging to know as Pet Life Radio presents It's a Doggy Dog World with pet expert and award-winning author Liz Palaika. Every dog has his day, and you'll find out how to make your dog's day fun and rewarding every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Christine, our pooch waiting to be pampered, that is a dog in need of a rescue, a forever home with a wonderful forever family. His name is Abby. Abby is a 3-year-old small white poodle. And she is being fostered through Paradise Animal Rescue. Abby is looking to be in a home where she can be with someone all the time, either a retired couple or a stay-at-home mom or someone that works from their home. Abby suffers from separation anxiety. She is very active. She's a little hyper, cute little bouncy thing. She loves to go on car rides and she loves to sit on laps. She's very sweet and looking for a very good home, someone that would be patient with her. She's up to date with all her shots. She's house trained, yippee, and she's been altered. So no need, spayed. No need to worry about that. If you are interested in Abby and looking at her cute picture, you should see her face. She's got the blackest little nose. She's so cute. You can go to Paradise Animal Rescue, and their website is www.PAR.org. That's www.parpets.org. And her name is Abby.
And our Pampered Pooch of the Week is Zoe. Zoe is a 2-year-old Shih Tzu, and she was basically her mom's name is Maureen Murphy. Maureen adopted her at an adoption fair at the local zoo. She was found as stray when the Humane Society took her in, basically on a Friday, and Maureen adopted her on a Sunday. She was kind of taking a chance because she had about 5 minutes to make the decision before the fair closed, but she ended up making one of the best decisions that she's ever made. And some of the things that Zoe likes to do, she basically just loves people. And she's never met a stranger, and she will basically introduce herself to anyone that they meet, especially when they pass other people going for a walk. Zoe's favorite toys are her squeaky stuffed animals. Some of her favorites are a little squirrel, a hedgehog, and a chipmunk, and she tries to give them all three equal attention, which I think is really cute. Zoe's favorite food is pretty much anything that her mom happens to be eating, then Zoe wants that as well. And her favorite activities, she likes to go walking at Partridge Creek Mall, which is a mall that allows animals outside and some of the stores on the inside of the mall. She likes to stop at the dog bakery there. And she also likes to play with her buddies, Bandit, which is another Shih Tzu, and Bullet, who's a collie. And Zoe's best tricks or commands are basically the sit and down, and she'll do almost anything for a greenie. And some of the ways that Maureen pampers Zoe is she likes to sleep on her bed. She gets lots of treats from the bakery at Partridge Creek, and she loves to go on walks and gets lots of attention. And Zoe is a really cute girl. You should check her out on our Pampered Pooch blog. Another thing you can do with your dog in the summer, or even in the winter, is you can paw print with them.
What a fun thing to do. We just did that.
Yeah, it was fun. We did it for a local puppy mill awareness meetup group. They're having a dog art auction at different events that they are going to this summer. And we went ahead and painted paw prints with our puppies that were originally from puppy mills. And what we used was a non-toxic arts and crafts paint. You got to make sure that it is arts and crafts and not any kind of woodworking or any other type of paint, and that it is non-toxic. The actual brand we used was Fresco Tempera paint. We used a good variety. They came in 6-packs with different colors, so I picked up a couple 6-packs.
And then we made a couple
six packs of paint.
So Christine and I are doing on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and you can use different kinds of paper. We use some different canvas, which is a little bit more expensive, but it's not too bad if you can get the packs of like 3 at a time. There's different sizes that you can use. And what's some of the stuff that Mateo did with his paw printing?
Well, of course, we put all the colors of paint on a paper plate so that we could just basically take their paw and put it on the canvas. Well, Mateo, of course, tried to eat the paint, and then he had blue on his chin and pink on his cheek. And it was hard at first because I didn't realize if I just sat him down and held his paw and held that paper plate up and stamped it on the canvas, he was good to go. I was trying to hold him and keep the paint off me and him from licking it.
Yeah, it did work out easier if you would pull the canvas up to the paw too and just move the canvas around instead of the dog around. Another thing you can do with your dog in the summer or even in the winter is you can paw print with them.
What a fun thing to do. We just did that.
Yeah, it was fun. We did it for a local puppy mill awareness meetup group. They're having a dog art auction at different events that they are going to this summer. And we went ahead and painted paw prints with our puppies that were originally from puppy mills. And what we used was a non-toxic arts and crafts paint. You got to make sure that it is arts and crafts and not any kind of woodworking or any other type of paint, and that it is non-toxic. The actual brand we used was Fresco Tempura paint. We used a good variety. They came in 6-packs with different colors, so I picked up a couple 6-packs.
And then we made a couple 6-packs.
6-packs of paint.
So Christine and I are doing on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, and you can use, you know, different kinds of paper. We use some different canvas, which is a little bit more expensive, but it's not too bad if you can get the packs of like 3 at a time. There's different sizes that you can use. And, you know, what's some of the stuff that Mateo did with his paw printing?
Well, of course, we put all the colors of paint on a paper plate so that we could just basically take their paw and put it on the canvas. Well, Mateo, of course, tried to eat the paint, and then he had blue on his chin and pink on his cheek. And it was hard at first because I didn't realize if I just sat him down and held his paw and held that paper plate up and stamped it on the canvas, he was good to go. I was trying to hold him and keep the paint off me and him from licking it.
Yeah, it did work out easier if you would hold the canvas up to the paw too and just move the canvas around instead of the dog around. Well, one of the things you should do before you even start is make sure that you put newspaper down. We tried on the top of the table, which was okay. You might want to try outside on a deck or something, you know, put paper down and then it might be easier so you're not holding them up onto the table. Whatever works best for you.
And try to wear a saran wrap or something across yourself or have a plastic apron. I did forget my plastic apron. We did okay. Small dogs. I can't imagine if you've got a big dog.
True.
And it's all over. And we used both front paws.
Yep, and we also try to have a little bowl of water nearby and lots of paper towels. And then one of the things we did with the paint, we started mixing the colors together, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, Christine got some good colors going. And
then to get the paint off, we really just put them in the bathtub and a little bit of water and some shampoo. And
came right off.
Yeah.
That was our fun day of painting paw prints. It's a great idea. It's a fun party just to do. Christine had a really great suggestion that if you did it outside, had a few of your dog friends over, have a kiddie pool in the summer, dunk the dogs in the kiddie pool, you're good to go and everyone has a great day and you've got a piece of art that you can remember, you know, the dog's name and the date. Something to always remember your pampered pooch by.
And that's actually all the time we have for today. We thank you for listening, and we just would like you to stay tuned for some upcoming episodes, and also remember to submit your pampered pooch for the pampered pooch of the week, and that would be submitted to pamperedpooch@petliferadio.com.
Thanks, we've enjoyed it.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on petliferadio.com.